Yes, Jesus comes with good news for the poor, good news for the captives, but he comes with good news on his terms.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the dangers of watering down the gospel.
And when you become committed and decide to obey God, you're going to find out he can change your temporal situation.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Compromise is great when you and your spouse are deciding where to go to dinner. But Dr. Evans says compromising Christianity to make it more socially acceptable turns it into something that's neither Christian nor acceptable. Let's join him as he explains.
The Statue of Liberty. A lady standing in the New York Harbor has inscribed on her base these words: "Give me your tired and your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Lady Liberty stands there with a torch in her hand, signifying light for anyone who wishes to come here. At the base of the statue is a chain that has been snapped or broken, indicating freedom. Because the kingdom called America was established based on a most unusual concept. In fact, one that would be illustrated and modeled unlike any other country in the history of civilization. And that was a nation whose self-definition would be freedom. That statue represents good news for generations of people who have come here, who have wanted a better life and a better opportunity. Because there was a different kind of kingdom being offered them. Jesus Christ has gone to church. He's gone to the synagogue on the day of worship, which was the Sabbath, Saturday. And it was the habit in those days when you had a visiting teacher or rabbi to allow them to do the homily, to allow them to do the sermon, if you will, to speak on that day. They bring him the Old Testament Bible, for the New Testament had not been written yet. And it says he opened it and found the place, which means what he was about to read was on purpose. And he begins to read the first few verses from the book of Isaiah, which are quoted here in Luke chapter 4. And he says, "I have come to proclaim good news to poor, captive, blind, and oppressed people. And I have come to tell you about the acceptable year of the Lord." And a hush fell over the place when he said, "And today, this is fulfilled in your hearing." You see, everybody in that room understood the implications of what he was saying. They had been having church for generations, all waiting for this person called the Messiah, the Anointed One. God had promised in the Old Testament that there was going to come one, the servant of Yahweh, the Anointed One, the Messiah, who would deliver God's people from their poverty, their oppression, their captivity, all the things that made life miserable. That Messiah would come and he would deliver them. And so they went to church every Saturday, the Sabbath, always hoping for the coming of this deliverer in the same way that you and I look to the return of Jesus Christ today. They look for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of this deliverer. And he says, "I've got good news." The word "good news" is the Greek word "gospel." I've got a gospel for you. I've got some good news. "I have come to be your deliverer." Now, if you're in trouble and you can't fix it yourself, you need some authorized person to act act on your behalf. Have you ever seen a hamster on a wheel? It's moving, but it's not going anywhere. And a lot of us have lives like that. We're moving, but we're not going anywhere. There's activity, but we're making no progress related to the things that are wrong in our life and in our experience. We're not getting better, but we're moving. The only way that hamster can be delivered if somebody outside reaches inside and lifts it out. I remember when I was a young boy and I had not yet learned to swim. And I was in a swimming pool. I was reminded of this just last week. I was in a swimming pool and for some reason I had drifted to the deep end. I had been jumping up and down from the bottom, and I guess I kept jumping a little further, and I wound up now on the precipice of the deep end where the water begins to slope. And it became clear I had gone too far. And so I'm pushing myself up, trying to send a message for help, but I'm gurgling water, so, and my strength is weakening, so I don't have the ability to really call out. And I'll never forget Donald. Donald was sitting on the edge of the pool, just kind of relaxing. And my heart is beating fast and I'm terrified. I don't know how to swim and I don't know how to get back to the shallow because of the slant in the pool. And I push myself one more time. And it's as best I could say, Donald. I cried out for help. It was loud enough to get Donald's attention, and he looked over and saw me going under. Donald was older, and Donald could swim. Donald jumped in the water, and he delivered me. It wasn't that I wasn't trying to deliver myself. I was jumping as hard as I could, as high as I could, but the circumstances were just too deep. But there was somebody in my vicinity who had an ability that I did not possess. He knew how to swim, who reached in and delivered me. On that day, Donald was good news in a bad situation. Jesus Christ comes and he says, I have come to proclaim good news. Now, if you're poor, the good news is you don't have to stay that way. If you're oppressed, the good news is we're going to set you free. If you are captive, the good news is you're going to be released. So when the Jews in the synagogue heard this, they were riveted because they knew what Jesus was saying. They understood that Jesus was saying, the Messiah you've been waiting on all these generations throughout the Old Testament is right up in your face. He's in your grill. Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. Translation, I am the Messiah who is here to change your circumstances. They knew that the Messiah was the authorized person to be their deliverer. Well, let's go a little deeper. To understand what Jesus was talking about, you have to start at Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25, the basis of Isaiah 61, which Jesus quotes in Luke 4, is about a special year. Jesus calls it in Luke 4, the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of Jubilee. Let me tell you about the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee is when God reversed chaos in people's lives, in the culture, and he brought order to a chaotic situation. Everybody who was a slave was set free in the year of Jubilee. Here's one you'll like. All debts were canceled. Oh, wouldn't you like a Jubilee today? Every bill was canceled. Land was returned to its original owner. And whatever had gotten out of whack in the world of God's people was now reversed and there was order in a chaotic situation. Every 49 years, this thing would start over again, and there would be the acceptable year of the Lord, the year when the Lord brought order to chaos. But let me tell you the secret of the year of Jubilee found in Leviticus 25. The year of Jubilee could only be inaugurated by the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was where, when once a year, the priest came into the Holy of Holies and he sprinkled blood on the mercy seat from the sacrifice of the animal in order to propitiate or satisfy the just wrath of a holy God against sin. Let me put it this way. God would not fix society or folks' lives until sin had been addressed. Sin had to be addressed before God would change the circumstances. So you couldn't get the benefits of Jubilee until you had the sacrifice of Jubilee, the Day of Atonement. A lot of folk read Luke chapter 4 and say, Jesus wants to feed poor people. Jesus wants to release captive people. He wants to get rid of slavery. He wants to get rid of that. And all that is true, but it is predicated on a Day of Atonement. Let me say it another way. Don't expect God to fix your circumstances if he's not free to deal with your sin. Don't expect God to change your situation if there is no Day of Atonement in your experience. If there is a rejection of Jesus Christ, you cannot then call on him to make things better. Yes, Jesus comes with good news for the poor, good news for the captives. He comes with good news, but he comes with good news on his terms. That's why he says, I have come to proclaim good news to the captives. Like the Lady Liberty in New York, that's the offer to come to America. But you have to come. If you don't come, you don't get the benefit of this kingdom. So it's a proclamation. It's not a guarantee. And so Jesus Christ on this day proclaims himself to be Messiah, the one who has come to be the deliverer of circumstances, because he is the one who has come to address sin.
When Dr. Evans continues our message in a moment, he'll talk to us about the two extremes we often find in the church and why a healthier balance is so important. Right now, though, we're about to wrap up this important series of messages dealing with the second of Jesus' two great commandments, to love others as ourselves. That's why the collection is called Second, Rekindling a Heart for Others. As we've been learning, this seven-part series will teach you the importance of loving people the way God does, show you how to find love you never thought you had, how to put it to work, and why it matters when you do. We can't make any kind of real difference in the world until we make God's priorities our priorities. So we'd like to send you this series as our thank you gift, if you can help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any size. Don't miss your chance to take advantage of this special offer before time runs out tomorrow. Visit TonyEvans.org today, make your contribution online, and let us send you your copy of this important series. We also have staff members standing by in our Resource Center to help you. Call them at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you later on after part two of today's lesson and this.
Whether you're facing a decision or a dilemma, it's smart to ask, what would Jesus do? But first you have to know what Jesus did and what God has to say about the situations you face. Well, if building your biblical foundation is your goal, the help you need is as close as your computer or mobile device, thanks to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's packed with online courses covering core concepts of the faith and in-depth scripture studies you can work through any time you want, at any pace you want. Along the way, you'll explore key teachings and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Tony to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. It's almost like having a seminary on your smartphone. Visit TonyEvans.org today and connect with the Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
What we have today are two extremes. You've got people who are socially conscious. They want to feed the poor, which is good, house the homeless. They want to make people's lives better, but not deal with sin. So they're earthly minded, but not any heavenly good. But then you got this other group over here that's heavenly minded, but no earthly good. They want to get people to heaven, but they want to skip their circumstances on earth. They'll witness to you about your sin, but not deal with you about your circumstances. Jesus Christ brings the two together and he says, yes, I want to address circumstances on earth, but because you've dealt with the issue that I have come to deal with from heaven. John chapter 6, the first 15 verses, Jesus feeds 5,000 people, not counting women and children. Well, when the people saw that, they said, let's make him king, because we're going to have the best welfare program going. What he did to change people's lives would prove that the message he brought was from the Messiah. And it was a message about a kingdom. That's why in Luke chapter 4, the same chapter, if you flip over just one page and look at verse 40, he says, while the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick or various diseases brought them to him. That he laid hands on them. Verse 41, he cast out demons. And then verse 43, he says, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. I was sent to preach. But to validate my sermon, I'm going to let you see my work. So watch this. Here is the relationship to doing good work that helps the lives of people while giving the good word that changes the destiny of people. The good work gives validity to the good word. We don't do good things just to do good things. Good things are good, but we have a bigger agenda. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 2, and chapter 10, verse 9, he says, I want you to go heal the sick, and I want you to preach the good news of the kingdom. The good works opens up the heart to receive the good word. So Jesus says, I'm going to do good. I'm going to heal people. I'm going to help the poor, but I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to give them the good news about a king and a kingdom that is available to them. A lot of people criticize me and criticize Oak Cliff because it's too much Bible. Y'all too serious over there. Bible-less. We need you to march about this and march about that and fight about this and blah, 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 blah. Okay, y'all just too serious. Well, the next time you get that criticism, you tell them, we do that Bible thing at Oak Cliff, but just in case you didn't know it, the hungry get fed. People who don't have a house, we provide housing. Let them know that folk that don't have clothes can come here and get clothes. Let them know that people that don't have their GED can come here and get an education. You let them know that we got good works tied to the good word. Yeah, it's Bible, but it's Bible that's seeking to touch lives and to proclaim the gospel to every life we seek to touch. Because that is what his disciples were told to do, and that is what the church did in the New Testament and are told to do today. If a person is poor, that's bad, but he can recover from that. If a person doesn't have the best clothes, that's bad, but he can recover from that. If a person is not living in the best housing, that's bad, but he can recover from that. But if a person dies without Jesus Christ, you just hit him with a blow he can never recover from. So that's why we attach the temporal to the eternal. And what that means for you is if you want to see God transform your life, you must be willing to deal with the sin. You don't excuse it. You face it. You let God forgive it so that he can transform it. First of all, to accept Christ as Savior, entering the kingdom, and then to obey Christ as Lord, benefiting from the kingdom. You enter the kingdom by faith apart from works. You benefit from the kingdom by faith plus works. You enter for free. You become a discipleship through commitment. And when you become committed and decide to obey God, you're going to find out he can change your temporal situation. Many are folk in debt here because either you are a sluggard or you've spent too much and disobey God with regard to debt. There is a sin question. We've got a welfare state because of a sin issue. Unless sin is addressed, personally, family, church, societal, God will not hear the prayer to make things better. Because the year of Jubilee must deal with the question of sin.
That sin question Dr. Evans was talking about isn't just a behavior problem. It's the thing that can separate us from God forever. But that question can be answered today. It doesn't matter what you've done or how good a person you might be. The Bible makes it clear that a relationship with Jesus is the only way to get right with God and guarantee a place in heaven. Tony would love to tell you how that relationship can be yours. Visit TonyEvans.org today, click on the top menu, and follow the link that says Jesus. You'll find answers to your questions, a simple prayer that can change your life, and free follow-up resources. Tony will come back with a final story for us in just a moment. First, though, today's message was titled Socializing the Gospel, and it's available as a part of that featured series I told you about earlier. Second, Rekindling a Heart for Others. We'll be glad to send it to you with our thanks for your contribution of any size. Remember, your support not only keeps this program on the air, but empowers Tony's outreach to pastors, their families, church leaders, and congregations committed to reaching their communities. So visit TonyEvans.org today to make the arrangements before time runs out tomorrow. While you're there, sign up for his free weekly email devotional and find out how you can follow along with him as we read through the Bible together on social media. This week, we're looking at Psalm 103. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or let one of our resource team members help you by calling us at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Even though our Christian values aren't as welcome in the public square as they once were, Dr. Evans says our influence is even more important as our culture continues to decay. I hope you'll join us tomorrow as he explains why. Right now, though, he's back with a final illustration for today.
In television and movies, they show you previews of coming attractions. Those are the hot clips of the upcoming show. They're always the love scene, the chase scene, and the fight scene. Because they want you to get excited about the show. So they put all these exciting clips right beside each other. Now, you would think it's an exciting movie. It may be a terrible movie. But you'd never know about the clips, because the clips are always the hot clips. Brothers and sisters, one day there's a big show coming to town. God is the producer. The Holy Spirit is the director. Jesus is the superstar, and it will be a worldwide production. It's called The Kingdom of God. One day, like they were waiting for Messiah the first time, we are looking for the return of Messiah. And one day when Jesus comes back, he is going to rule from Jerusalem the whole world in his millennial kingdom. And we're going to see the whole show. But until that time, he's left you and 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 me and us here as previews of coming attractions. You and I are supposed to be the hot clips of the upcoming show. You and I are supposed to be the hot clips of the upcoming kingdom. So that when we do good works and then give the good word, when we help people here, but also shore up their eternal destiny there, we have been hot clips of the upcoming show. So that when we do good works and people begin to respond for our kindness and our love and our outreach to them, and they say, boy, that was so good. Where can I buy a ticket to the whole show? That's when we can tell them, you don't have to buy a ticket. The price has already been paid. Jesus Christ has paid it all on the cross for your eternal destiny if you will trust him as your Savior.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.